This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments today in two cases involving so-called Megan's Laws. All 50 states have such laws. They require that convicted sex offenders who are out of prison be registered and that the information be disseminated to the public. The laws were enacted after the 1994 rape and murder of 7-year-old Megan Kanka in New Jersey. Her killer was a twice-convicted sex offender who had moved in next door without neighbors knowing of his record. Megan's death led to a nationwide drive for new laws to protect the public. Lower courts have narrowed or invalidated the laws as unconstitutional. This is their first test in the U.S. Supreme Court. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The laws in the 50 states vary significantly, from California, where residents can call a 900 number for information, to Louisiana, where newspapers are required to publish photographs of released child sex offenders. Increasingly, though, states are simply putting the information they collect on the Internet. And today, the Supreme Court will look at the laws in Alaska and Connecticut to see whether they violate constitutional rights of past sex offenders. Connecticut's law, which requires quarterly registration, was struck down because it fails to give past sex offenders a chance to show that they're not dangerous and should not be publicly listed. Alaska, once known as the rape capital of the nation, has the most draconian law in the country. It requires quarterly registration and notification for anyone convicted, not just of a violent sex offense, but for anyone convicted of less serious offenses, such as indecent exposure or consensual sex between an older teenage boy and an underage teenage girl. The state requires offenders to register quarterly, and the public is then notified via the Internet not just of the sex offender's home address, but his work address and car tags. The registry also contains a contemporaneous photograph and a listing of identifying marks. As in other states, failure to register is a felony, and perhaps most importantly, the Alaska law covers not just those convicted after the law was enacted, but anyone convicted before as well. Last year, the law was struck down by a federal appeals court that ruled the Alaska statute violated the Constitution's ban on retroactive punishment. The state appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, contending that the law is justified as a measure to protect the public's safety. Lawyer John Roberts will argue the state's case in the Supreme Court today.
When this law was passed in 1994, Alaska ranked first in child sexual abuse and second in sexual assault, and as many as one quarter of the prisoners in Alaskan jails were there for sexual offenses.
Del Smith, the state's commissioner of public safety, said initially Alaska's residents could access information about sex offenders by going to the police department.
We didn't think that that was working out particularly well, and we looked at a way to make it more available, and so when we decided to go with the Internet, it was extremely popular.
Indeed, state officials say the website has had more than 730,000 hits. The law was eventually challenged by unnamed sex offenders convicted before the statute was enacted. One of them, known as John Doe 1, was convicted of abusing a daughter. Sentenced to 8 years in prison, he was released 2 years early in 1990 after completion of a treatment program because the Alaska Board of Parole deemed him a low risk for reoffending. Later, he built a business, remarried, and won custody of his minor child in a custody dispute after an Alaska judge determined he was rehabilitated. Daryl Thompson, the lawyer representing Doe, says the Alaska law unconstitutionally adds punishment that individuals could never have known about when they made plea bargains before the law was enacted. He says he has dozens of clients who pled guilty, for example, to having sex with an underage girlfriend or were arrested for flashing, even as a prank. He says these people, in addition to those who pled guilty to more serious crimes, thought they were putting an end to their problems when they pled guilty prior to enactment of the sex offender registry law. Indeed, some were promised that their records would be expunged eventually.
Then some 10, 12 years later, come to find out that they are now required on a quarterly basis to report to the police and are on the Internet as a registered sex offender for the rest of their lives. There are countless people here in the state of Alaska alone who took deals who would not have done that had they known of the consequences.
A system that punishes retroactively like Alaska's is precisely what the Founding Fathers meant when they put in the Constitution a ban on ex post facto laws, literally translated to mean laws that are done afterwards. That's the argument made by opponents of the law, like Lawrence Lustberg of the American Civil Liberties Union.
That is the classic retroactive punishment, something that hurts you, that is being done after you commit your crime and that you couldn't have known about at the time that you did commit it.
The Supreme Court, in determining whether a law is ex post facto and thus unconstitutional, has distinguished between laws that punish retroactively and those that regulate retroactively. Thus, for example, barring a convict from serving in union office is deemed regulatory because it's aimed at preventing corruption of unions. Alaska's John Roberts will tell the Supreme Court today that the Alaska Registration and Notification Law was regulatory, not punitive.
The purpose of the law is not to punish anyone. The purpose of this law is to protect families, and particularly the most vulnerable among us, children. Because it serves a regulatory purpose, it doesn't violate the ex post facto clause.
Of course it's punishment.
The ACLU's Lawrence Lustberg.
They can't get jobs. They're the victims of vigilante attacks. Part of classic punishment at the time of the founding of this republic was that sort of branding, the scarlet letter, not done to protect solely, but also done to deter and to impose retribution.
And Daryl Thompson argues that putting information on the internet goes much further than simply distributing it to neighbors. It puts information out to the world.
The internet is the modern-day public branding. I mean, that's where people go to look, instead of going to the town square to see whose picture is there or who's being flogged.
First of all, it's not branding.
Alaska's John Roberts.
It's intended to provide people with truthful information that can allow them to take steps they may consider necessary to protect themselves and their families. The consequences that flow that the plaintiffs in these cases like to talk about flow from the fact that they've been convicted of sexual abuse. It is not the appropriate way to proceed to keep people in the dark about that information.
The whole question of whether or not sex offender registration laws are a form of punishment is also relevant to the question of due process or fairness in the process. In short, should an individual have some right to refute his listing on a sex offender list beforehand? The original Megan's Law was narrowed by the New Jersey Supreme Court to require such hearings. Other states list offenders in groups based on their offenses. And in Connecticut, there are some very limited escape valves for past offenders, allowing them to challenge their placement on the list. But in Alaska, everyone is treated the same way, from the teenage flasher to the violent rapist. Lawyer Daryl Thompson.
The problem with Alaska's law and many of the statutes throughout the country is that there are no individualized determinations as to that person's risk of reoffending.
Alaska's John Roberts counters that the rate of recidivism for sex offenders is higher than for other offenders.
The Alaska legislature determined that it's very difficult to decide in any individual cases whether an individual is likely to commit another sex offense. And therefore they decided that anyone who was convicted of a list of sex offenses ought to be on the sex offender registry.
Now the U.S. Supreme Court will decide whether there are any constitutional limitations to such registries. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.